Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Welcome in, guys. Glad that you are here. So real quick, before I play you the rest of the podcast, so I recorded last night's show live with you guys on Thursday night. It is now Friday morning, and I'm glad that I have not uploaded it yet because Ole Miss got more news in the transfer portal. And so obviously that is not talked about the night before, but still wanted to give a quick reaction to you before we get to the actual podcast. Patrick Kutis, the interior offensive lineman from Arkansas. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I will learn it quickly, I promise. So with all due respect to the young man, I will learn your name if that is not the correct way. Either way, the Arkansas transfer just announced his commitment to Ole Miss. He called it new chapter, is how he described it on social media. The number one interior offensive lineman, according to On3. He's a four-star portal transfer. His rating, again, according to On3, is 92. And the number 39 overall player in the transfer portal as of right now. So an experienced player, obviously played at Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Kiffin, and Weiss, and Garrison. Everybody has a lot of film on him playing against SEC teams, obviously. And the recruiting people think that he is the best available at his position for Ole Miss. So they need offensive line help. They're going to lose a lot of guys. They need to upgrade there. There's a chance that this is that. I know Alabama was really working to get a visit. Ole Miss did not allow him to leave Oxford without committing. That is a good pickup for Ole Miss, an experienced pickup for Ole Miss on the offensive line. Again, Patrick Kutis, the Arkansas transfer, number one interior offensive lineman in the transfer portal and the number 39 player overall. So that is what has happened since this was recorded. But here is last night's live stream talking. We talked transfer portal. We talked Austin Simmons, and read your comments as well. So I'm glad you guys are here now for the rest of the podcast. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you live again on Sunday.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in. Let's try this again to the Rebel Report. I'm Michael Borky. For those of you that are still here, I appreciate you guys being here and welcome in, and glad that you are with me on this Thursday night. So I know the lead has promises a interview with Chris Beard. I will bring that to you guys tomorrow, actually, is what I will do. I'll just do a special video with that on its own. And that's how we'll do it. I have no idea how on earth you guys heard the post-Florida game stream on top of the radio interview with Chris Beard from earlier today. I have no idea how that happened, but that is what happened, apparently. And so here we are, round two of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you guys being here. We're talking Ole Miss's first portal pickups. The schedule just came out. Is it obviously Austin Simmons time? It kind of seems like it. We will talk about all that and more on this edition of the Rebel Report presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you're a small business owner and you need some legal advice, or if you're just a small business owner and you think the day may come where you might need some legal help, I've got the person that you need to go to, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's got you covered for all of it. Small business and also personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't wait another second. Wake up in the morning, call DJ Gregory at 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, he's in Fulton, but he can service you anywhere in this state for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. So Ole Miss got a couple of portal pickups today. We'll talk about that and read some of your comments for the next 20 minutes or so. But I do want to start on some quick thoughts on the schedule. And then also we will get to the portal pickups and then read your comments, and I will let you guys get on out of here. So we already knew what Ole Miss's opponents were. We just did not know when they were going to get played. And we know now for sure that the schedule for Ole Miss is not the same setup as it was last year, and that the non-conference games are scattered throughout the schedule. So here it is, and we'll talk about it together. Georgia State. Ole Miss opens with Georgia State. Remember, they were supposed to be at Southern Cal to open the season. That game has gone away, and now Ole Miss is hosting Georgia State. Week two, they go on the road in week two to Lexington to face Kentucky. So there's going to be an introduction to whoever the new quarterback is, presumably Austin Simmons, to SEC play beyond just one series on the road in week two at Kentucky. Now, I know the Wildcats are kind of reeling right now, but that game will be a big, important game for Ole Miss. They come back home to host Arkansas, Tulane, and LSU in consecutive weeks, all at home. Then they have an off week. Then they host Washington State. Remember, that game is the one that replaces Wake Forest, because Wake Forest canceled on Ole Miss after what happened. So bye week, Washington State. This is the stretch. This is the money stretch of the season. This is the defining stretch of games for Ole Miss in 2025. At Georgia, at Oklahoma, South Carolina at home. You tell me what their record is in those three games, and I tell you what kind of season that they had. They get a de facto bye week with the Citadel. With all due respect to the Citadel and the Military Academy of South Carolina, my best friend went to school there. It's a great school. They work really hard. They're like West Point, although they don't have to serve after. You don't have to serve. The athletes don't, but it's still a military school, and they do all of the things that the West Point cadets do. That is, so I'm not, you know, no disrespect intended. However, Ole Miss gets a de facto bye week sandwiched in between South Carolina and Florida. And then they get another bye week because, remember, the season starts in October, which means you get two bye weeks. I think that should be permanent, but that's a conversation for another day. And then they go to Mississippi State, which will very likely be on – it's going to be on Black Friday. I know that people, when the schedule came out, saw the Egg Bowl scheduled for Saturday and took that and ran with it. That is not accurate. That is how they – it's a placeholder. That's how they scheduled it last year. They're going to move the games around as the networks tell them to. Later on, every single game was listed on Saturday for rivalry weekend. That's not how that's going to work out. Games are going to move. That's exactly how it was a year ago, and that's how it is this time as well. It's really – it's going to be on Black Friday. And Ole Miss and State getting the bye week before the Egg Bowl kind of tells you that they're anticipating the game to kick off at least 24 hours earlier than expected. So there's no way of doing like a record prediction or anything like that as we sit here on the fourth day of the transfer portal being open. That's all this is. This is day four of the portal being open. We have no idea what this team is going to look like yet. We don't know who's going to play in the secondary. We don't really know who's going to be on the defensive line. Don't know what the weapons are going to be on offense, although I think with Wright returning, they're actively recruiting running back. Diggs, you would hope, would be healthy by then. And you know some, but not all, of the pieces that will be on this team. Doing a record prediction is kind of goofy. However, I do like it. I like that the four non-conference games are not in a row to start the season, so the team doesn't get like fat and happy playing those games. I like that they're broken up. I like that you get the Citadel as kind of like an extra bye week between South Carolina and Florida. I like that, you know, it's Washington State as opposed – or Washington State after LSU and after a bye week as opposed to being in week three in Pullman. You know, I like that the non-conference are spread out. I think in a perfect world, the bye would be before Georgia and not before Washington State. But I mean, it's your three road games, and that's all you have. You have eight home games. Your three road games, three of your four, are against teams that finished at 500 or worse this season. You know, two of the worst teams in the SEC are this past season are your road games. Oklahoma finished 6-6. Not an easy place to play, but still. So you don't have a difficult road schedule. You got to go to Athens, but you know, in the SEC are going to have a game like that on every schedule. It just kind of goes down like that unless you're Texas. They didn't have to go to Georgia. Georgia just beat the hell out of them in their own place. But it sets up nicely. 8 home games, non-conference broken up. If they get the right pieces in the transfer portal, this team should have an opportunity to win a lot of games with the schedule that has been presented to them. Look no further than Mississippi State. If you want to see what getting your, for lack of a better phrase, getting your ass kicked by the league office can do, look over at Mississippi State. Not only do they start their season with 4 non-conference games, but their season opener is at Southern Miss. Now, I know this was a really bad Southern Miss team, but that's going to be a weird game for sure. Then in week 2, it's Arizona State. So they still have Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, and Ole Miss at home. They also have Arizona State, who made the playoff, and they have to go to Texas A&M and go to Florida and go to Missouri. Their easiest game on their schedule is at Arkansas, and Arkansas beat them by 5 touchdowns this year. It's a brutal, brutal schedule for Mississippi State. Not a brutal schedule at all for Ole Miss. On the portal front, they received 2 commitments today. The dam has broken for Ole Miss in the transfer portal class. Deshaun Womack got the class started for Ole Miss. He's a edge from LSU. He was a 5-star in the 2023 recruiting class. Ole Miss recruited him. He ended up going to LSU, ended up working out at the end. He is bound for Ole Miss. Didn't play a whole ton of snaps at LSU. Apparently, the physical tools are there. Like, he was appropriately ranked 5-star on physical tools. There's still some rawness in his game, some refining that needs to go on. But the upside, the ceiling is incredibly high. Not as polished coming in as a Princely, and I know they play different spots, but as a Nolan, right, where you kind of knew, you saw that a lot more than you've seen out of him. But when he has played, physical ability is there, very talented. LSU people have not wanted to see him go. And I think that it's based on what you've seen on the field, it is abundantly clear that Ole Miss has the coaching that can extract great things out of a guy with that talent level in ways that maybe he wasn't able to get at LSU. So is he a perfect prospect? No. Is he a dominant player coming in as a refined, polished pass rusher? He's not. Does he have 5-star ability? Absolutely. So a very good pickup for Ole Miss. Needs some refining, but that's okay. They got another commitment, and I believe they were high school teammates. I could be wrong, but I think that that is accurate. On the other side of the ball, P.J. Wilkins, Paris Wilkins, an offensive lineman. He's a big guy. I mean, what is he, 6'7", 340, I believe, from Charlotte. Didn't start, but I think 2 games this year at Charlotte. I don't know much of anything at all about him. I'm not going to pretend like I do either. To be honest with you, maybe it's a little bit cynical, but I need to wait and see on the offensive line before I start talking about anything, really, involved there. I know they have an Arkansas lineman in for a visit. He would be a really good pickup because you have SEC film on him. You know what he can do at this level. But I watched this Ole Miss team return 4 starters from 2023's offensive line and then bring in 4 portal guys, and the offensive line was still an issue. It was still a problem. And so I don't know if they failed in evaluation, if schemes are a problem, if coaching's a problem. I don't know what it is. I know it's a problem. And I know that I spent last offseason talking about talent and experience just for it to come up short. I'm not going to get fooled again on that. I need to see it before I believe it with the offensive line. That's not to say that P.J. Wilkins can't come in and develop and be great. I have no idea. I don't know anything about him. Learned about his existence earlier today. But I'm going to be in wait-and-see mode with the offensive line. I'm going to do no hyping of the sort until proven otherwise with this group. So they got to pick up. They're in line to get more. I know they've got visitors like crazy. They had a running back in town today. They're expecting a tight end. They're expecting the number one, at least right now, the number one overall player in the portal at wide receiver. They're working the portal. That they have a lot of moving parts. So far, though, only 2 players actually in the boat, and those are those 2. Something that Haydad and I have been talking about, frankly, for a couple of weeks now on the radio show, and it's seemingly more and more likely that it's going down this way. Could be proven wrong. I have like a theory when it comes to the transfer portal and seeing how teams approach it. They're telling you what they think about what they currently have. And it's not, it doesn't always work this way because there are some teams like Clemson that don't use the portal. There are other teams that just aren't good at it and they try and they're just not good. Ole Miss being a team that has been proven to be active and effective in the portal, they tell you how they think about certain positions based on how active and engaged they are in the transfer portal. And I think that you're seeing that with quarterback. You're also seeing it with linebacker. We've talked about that. But I think you're seeing it with quarterback. So Haydad and I have shared a take about Austin Simmons, and it's not one that is new to you guys and one that you guys haven't heard before, but we have been very much in lockstep in the if he's going to be your quarterback, he can't play baseball. And there's already been questions about the injury and things like that to begin with. But if he's going to be the quarterback, he cannot play baseball. And Chase Parham on Rebel Grove, his board, gave some more insight onto that, where it doesn't sound like that's going to happen and that it seems like football is going to be the focus. And he's already kind of assumed that role of that's being left behind from Jackson Dart, not only at quarterback, but also, you know, recruiter, team leader, things like that. And that makes sense, right? The team very clearly likes him a lot based on the way that they react to him and engage with him. You can see it when you're watching their games and the way they interacted with him, especially during Georgia, that there's like a bond there with him. You also know the talent is absolutely there, but also you can see how engaged Ole Miss has been, or lack thereof, at the quarterback position in the transfer portal. There's been a high volume of high-profile quarterbacks hit the portal, and Ole Miss has not been in the mix for, I mean, really any of them. And I think that's telling you something. They're bringing in the Virginia kid for a visit. That strikes me as experienced guy that can come in and push and be QB2. And if something goes wrong, if, you know, he's one play away anyway from being a starter, but maybe they're even looking at bringing in multiple. But I think Ole Miss's lack of pursuit of the higher level transfer quarterbacks, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just reading too far into it, but I think their lack of pursuit of those guys, and they most certainly could be in on those guys, tells you how they feel about Austin Simmons. Could be wrong. I think that they are telling you how they feel about him by how they're approaching the position. And then when a guy like Chase reports what he does, that there's, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. I'm not a math guy, but I do think that checks out. So a lot of moving parts, a lot of portal stuff happening. I'm disappointed that I can't bring you the Beard interview right now. I will just have to bring that to you guys tomorrow or Saturday, if that's okay. We'll talk about more portal stuff and your comments for the next. I only have, you know, 12 minutes or so. So we'll get right into your comments and kind of go rapid fire after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems at absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So let's get to your comments. Here we go. Is this the real one? Yes, this is the real one now. Thank you guys for being here. Technically, I am extra late tonight. I am. Great pickup today from LSU. Certainly a very high ceiling pickup, for sure. Where's Pat when you need him? I know. Thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate you, my friend. Yeah, Pat needs to bully me because I don't know how the hell I dubbed Chris Beard over my post-game Florida. I have no idea how the hell I did that. Not a clue. But I did. So Pat relishes these moments. No kidding. No kidding. Hey, James, glad to see you. Currently planning a trip to the FedEx Forum on the 28th for Ole Miss Memphis. Should be a fun time and a great test for basketball. And hey, don't forget, they've already been tested. That's what's so interesting about this team is that, I mean, they played two tournament feeling games against two tournament teams. And then like 2 days later, two games later, went to Louisville and beat the hell out of Louisville in their place. So they've been tested already, but that would be another really good one. I would expect there to be a good bit of Ole Miss fans at the game that day. And Memphis is good, certainly talented. They have some good wins. They also lost to Arkansas State in that building. So could see Ole Miss getting two portal recruits by this weekend or early Monday. I wouldn't be surprised by this time tomorrow if you've got a couple and then over the weekend a couple more. I mean, they're really going to start adding here soon. Now that these visits are happening, players don't usually leave visits without committing if they're going to the school there. So a lot of visits happening. You're gonna get news throughout the weekend for sure. Eight home games, probably have to win seven at a minimum to compete for a playoff next year. Kentucky and Arkansas early are good tests, but they have to win both of them. Both of those programs are reeling. Yes. Yeah, both of those programs are reeling. I mean, they should be talent depleted, relatively speaking, when Ole Miss faces them. We will know quick if they are legit next year. Week two, we'll know how they play at Kentucky. If they cannot remedy the losing games to teams like Kentucky next year, it could be extremely dangerous. Yes, it could. Have I seen Arkansas' schedule? They are screwed. I am flabbergasted at their decision to just purposely fade into irrelevancy. Arkansas football is so mediocre and irrelevant. How they have allowed themselves to do that blows my mind. In that state, by themselves, with that corporate backing and that big fan base, and they are irrelevant. It's crazy. They're a farm system for everybody else in the SEC right now. Glad Washington State's getting to play an SEC opponent. Unfortunate what happened to them with conference realignment. They really got screwed, man. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you. Yeah, and next time Pat wants to give me crap for being late, well, guess what? You're sure Ole Miss got a player with lots of potential in the portal. When LSU fans say he was awful and they didn't need him, this staff seems to do a great job at development when they get guys in, especially defensively. Yeah, I just would trust Randall Joyner and Pete Golding's evaluation more than what LSU has done lately on the defensive line. Wouldn't landing the ULM back paired with Mills Knight, even as a freshman, be a pretty good 1-2 punch? Definitely better than what they did this year, with all respect to Henry Parrish. And then don't forget about Logan Diggs as well. Don't forget about Logan Diggs. Say Nolan staying is a crazy story. I know that rumor is out there. I know people are talking about the possibility of Walter Nolan returning. That is one of those things where I will believe it when I see him suit up across the field from Georgia State and not a second sooner. There's no way that would be a smart decision on his part to return to college, regardless of the money, because he's in line to make a whole lot more than what Ole Miss could pay him. And that's not a shot at Ole Miss. That's anybody. So I know it's out there. I know that rumor's out there. I will believe it the second I see it and not 1 second sooner. Going to trust their evaluations on the defensive side of the ball. And you're right. Can't say they'll make good changes. You can't say they'll make good changes at the offensive line. Yeah, I'd have to see it first. That's twice I've said that already. Nolan would be crazy if he came back to college. He's a bona fide high draft pick, yes. But, you know, people are talking about it. Maybe there's a reason for it. Quick question. Favorite Christmas tradition? There is a place in my hometown called Hollywild. And what it used to be, I don't know if they do it anymore. It used to be it's a zoo, quote unquote, but it's a place where they would train animals to be on movies and commercials. So that Hollywild, right? now that CGI is more of a thing, that they're like less and less needed, but they do this crazy holiday thing where they, you know, drive through lights. And I mean, it takes you like an hour to drive through all the lights. And then you drive through a field where there's lots of, what are they, stag deer? And they, I mean, cows and stuff like that, zebras, those kind of animals come up to your car and they'll eat peanuts and stuff out of your hand. And then you park and they have a series of like barns with camels and rams and all that stuff, just a lot of animals. And I've taken him every year since he's been born to this. And I'm looking forward to doing that again. Well, we do that every year. And he loves it. He's a big animal lover. I am a big animal lover, and that's what we do. Beard interview was great. he's sharp, man. He's really sharp. I'll bring that to you guys tomorrow. Jared Ivey announced he's playing in the bowl game. Wouldn't Pegues be next in these announcements? I expect him to play. I know these Grove Collective contracts are backloaded. I understand that, but they also sign said contracts. And most of them, I mean, maybe they're doing it for the money. Maybe they only play, you know, 20 snaps just to satisfy the contract. I do like that this exists, though. I like it. Alabama apparently is also in the same boat. I mean, basically their whole team is going to play. So I like that. I like that this is where it's going. If they're going to get paid to play, they're professionals. I mean, kudos to the Grove Collective for having contracts that are like this. They're pros. Regardless if they have a collective bargaining agreement or not, or an employment agreement, they're professional football players. They have a game. They should play in that game if they're going to get paid for this month to play. So I am fully supportive of the Grove Collective doing it. Kudos to the players for agreeing to the contracts, because it's two-sided, right? They agreed to this. So they're on board, clearly. Even if some of them didn't know that it's – no, I said that wrong. The Grove Collective is incredibly transparent. The contracts are very transparent. There is no getting one over on these guys. They agreed to it. I like that they did. I like that the contracts are set up this way. I like that Ole Miss is going to have basically their entire team playing in the bowl game. I think that's good for the sport. I think that's really good for the sport. With rev share coming in at $20 million in the collective, that is awesome and doing great. I wouldn't rule out that Nolan is back next year. But, man, he's looking at – let's see. The number 32 overall pick in the draft, it's a $12 million contract. Second-round picks are $10 million down to $6.5 million contracts. The Grove Collective would be reckless, and Ole Miss would be reckless to pay one guy $6 million. That's the minimum. That's the 64th pick in the draft is getting $6.5 million. I'm disputing something that I have heard myself, but I mean, they're staring millions and millions and millions in the face. But even with the contract factor, the optics are still good, regardless for teams staying together for the bowl game. By the way, do you expect Milroe back next year? All my Bama friends want him to leave. He's not NFL ready at all. Hell no, he's not NFL ready to leave at all. That was kind of mean, but he's not. I mean, he should return. He absolutely should return. He'll get paid a lot of money. He should get better under DeBoer. I know that they had an underwhelming season as well, but I like DeBoer, unless he feels like he needs to upgrade at the position, although I haven't seen anything of the sort. No, he's not NFL ready, not anywhere close to being NFL ready. He needs another year in college, whether it's at Alabama or somewhere else. So anyway, again, I'm sorry, guys, about the beard interview. I hate that it went down like that, but I appreciate you being here. I'll bring that to you this weekend. You've got basketball and portal stuff that we'll get to on Sunday. A lot of activity, a lot of moving parts, and we'll talk about it when we get together again on Sunday. You guys are the best. I appreciate you. Again, sorry for the beard interview mishap, snafu, whatever. I'll get it fixed and I'll bring that to you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, you'll have a great weekend. I'll talk to you again on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.